Navigating Dark Moments, The Realities of Depression and Seeking Support, Episode 169. Welcome to the Awaken You podcast, where we break down relationship barriers by awakening your true you. I'm Coach Christine, and the two of us will be doing this work together because this process isn't about changing your partner. It's about discovering who you are so you can awaken you in your marriage. Hello, awakened marriage community. Did you catch that? There you go. Another option for a podcast title, right? I guess I'm sort of throwing some things out there. That's what came to me when I started typing the notes for this episode. Let me know your thoughts. Last week, I threw out Awaken Your Marriage. And today, it's Awakened Marriage. I have, so Awaken You in Your Marriage, that I put together because originally, before I even got certified, I had written this note where I was thinking about a name for a podcast that I would someday launch. It was Awaken Your True You. And then I became a marriage coach and it became Awaken You in Your Marriage. I don't know. So I guess I'm just tossing some things around. I was not even trying to think of something different. Right now, nothing is changing. But I love how these different versions are popping in when I'm not even trying to come up with something different. Tell me what you think. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Today, I want to talk about something that doesn't feel too organized when I think about how to present it. But I'm going to do my very best to do so. I think what I want to talk about is important, and maybe it will come at a time that you need to hear it, or maybe it will be something you listen to and wonder, how could this ever have anything to do with my life? But then sometime down the road, maybe you will remember it when life seems different than you anticipated. When I was thinking about, well, as I talk today, you'll understand. But when I was going through this experience that I'm going to talk about, I knew that I needed to talk about it. I knew that I needed to bring it to the podcast. And it felt a little discombobulated because it's not necessarily directed right towards how we create a better marriage. But in the process of creating a better marriage, we are working on ourselves. And this is just part of my journey. So here we go. Many of you may be aware that I have been having a year of health issues. I've shared some here and there. I find myself in this interesting spot. Because looking back to a year ago, I would never anticipated all of these things happening, right? We do not know what our future will bring. Because a year ago, I knew I was having surgery. Actually, a year ago right now, I was about 3 weeks post-surgery. And what I knew at that time is that that would have me down for a good 6 months. And as I thought about that, preparing for that, I was like, this will be a good time. It will give me time to reflect and really think about where I'm going moving forward. But what I didn't know then was that I would tear my MCL close to my restrictions release from that knee surgery. And what I didn't know a year ago was that in January, just a couple months ago, an incredibly debilitating thoracic spine pain would present itself powerfully right when my knee surgeon was fully releasing me, like was cutting the cord, saying goodbye, you're good to go. And that was such a beautiful day. But this thoracic pain, basically I knew it was coming from my spine. It was going into my lower scapula, into my rear delt, radiating down my arm. This is not a new pain, right? I have had this pain for 10 years, believe it or not, probably longer. 10 years ago, it was diagnosed as a shoulder thing. And so all these years, that's what I have been like, oh, it's just my shoulder. I trained my shoulders too heavy for too long. Then I do remember at Memorial Day, at the girls' trip last year, this pain being so incredible, like bringing me to my knees. I remember laying in my bed just crying because the pain was so bad and nobody there knew what was going on. I just dealt with this for this whole time. But in January, this pain was so unbearable. It was heightened. I started doing a lot of self-medicating with ibuprofen and Tylenol with very little relief. Then finally, I got a spine surgeon referral and started the process of figuring out where this pain was coming from. Turns out, I have a herniated disc between C7 and T1. Then when they discovered this, originally I've talked about this, but I declined pain medication. But then when I went back, I begged them for pain medication and they put me on gabapentin. They started me with a physical therapist and then recommended cortisol injection, which I did with a little relief, but not much. Then I went back to the surgeon and he suggested surgery. So when I look back, right, like if I were to, we never know what our future is going to bring. And this has just been, I feel like I've been pretty up around all of this. Okay, what's next? What is this? That's fine. What is this going to bring? I do remember how bad January was. I just felt like I was very depressed. Lot of tears, lot of grinning and bearing it, very little capacity to do much besides deal with the pain. And while the gabapentin gave me some relief, the side effects were, well, first of all, a lot of anxiety, which I have really worked on my anxiety. So after a couple weeks, I don't know if it was even that long. It was especially when I was trying to go to sleep. I was forgetting things and my passion for life was evaporating like there was none. Of course, I looked up the side effects and anxiety, dementia, depression, all the things. And when the surgeon recommended surgery, I sort of wanted to fight it. So I saw another surgeon for a second opinion, which was a brilliant thing to do. By the way, if you're indecisive about something a doctor is suggesting you do, a protocol, I suggest, highly suggest you get another opinion. It's okay. My physical therapist gave me two amazing referrals. I went and saw the first one I could get into, and he answered so many great questions that helped me solidify this decision about surgery. And then 6 days, so I had actually, when this surgeon, original surgeon, had suggested surgery, I booked the first available date because I knew that I could cancel it, right? And then 6 days before surgery, I started getting a toothache, like a real toothache. Like I couldn't stand it. Felt like there was a grapefruit in my mouth. Turned out it was a dead nerve, an infected tooth, and I needed a root canal. This was 6 days before I was scheduled for surgery. So I had to postpone the surgery. Now, up to this point, I was just holding on with taking the gabapentin, right? I thought I only had a few more days to go. And then I would have surgery and I'd be weaning off the med, right? But with the postponing of the surgery, they refilled my gabapentin prescription. The next days, like when I got my refill because I had run out, those next days, I went from that listless and depressed me to suicidal. It was not myself. I literally would just sit and like stare off. And like I'd have to like pull myself up to do something. I didn't even feel like I was inside of my body. I remember laying in bed that night. It was a Wednesday night, sobbing. Because I was like visualizing how I would end my life. And it didn't feel good. I actually, as I was visualizing, I was thinking of doing it during the day when nobody else is here, but then I have my dogs and they'd have to sit here with that, right? And then eventually my daughter would find out. And so it was awful, you all. I felt like I was going crazy. I am sharing this because I feel like it needs to be shared. I was not in a place in my life where leaving was something I considered to be an option. Do you understand? I love my life. I do not think about suicide. Even the stuff that seems to suck in the moment, I know it's all refining me. I might be like, oh, this sucks. I don't like this. I don't want to deal with this, but I'd work through it. So I want people to know that depression is real and that it needs to be talked about if you're experiencing it. Secondly, depression while on any medication can turn your mental health upside down. I mean, who am I kidding? Even if you're not depressed, medication interacts in each of us differently and things can go from good to bad or worse to or bad to worse very quickly. I mean, like this, even when I think about it, still freaks me out. I was like being overtaken. My body was being overtaken. What I want you to be aware of is that if you ever visualize yourself ending your life, this is something that must be addressed. And right now, tell a trusted friend or two or three, talk about it with them. Tell them if you've visualized the way you would. Tell them if you visualized the way you would commit the act. Those instruments need to be removed immediately. They need to be eliminated from your presence until you deal with this. And they need to be removed by someone besides you. Even if you think that you're safe, because things can change in an instant. Pause. I'm going to pause for a moment. The other interesting thing is that it seemed like up to this moment, people were telling me about people they knew who had committed suicide. And it's like, how is all of this stuff happening right now, right? The next thing I want to say is know that you may confide in someone and they may not react the way that you think that they should. They may not be okay with what you have to share with them. Not everyone knows how to deal with such news, right? I'm suicide prevention certified. I kind of have a straight mind about what needs to be done. But that doesn't mean that I take care of me. I need other people to take care of me in that moment. There are people who don't know anything. They may not even know how to instruct you in a helpful way. And I'll share that I initially confided in a couple people, three to be specific. I knew that what was going on was not right and that the medication was blowing up my symptoms. One of the people that I originally confided in was very helpful. The doctor's office was very helpful. They had me take all of the necessary steps towards safety, stopping the medication, putting me on something different. And then there was one person, my husband, who withdrew. So this happened in the evening as I was trying to go to bed. I mean, it happened an earlier time, but I was able to kind of squash it out. But this time it was pervasive. And then the next day he went to work and he asked during the day, he texted me to see if I cared if he worked that night as well. And of course, I just was like to myself, really, if you're going to ask me that, just go. I don't want you here, right? But I'm telling you this because in the past, this has been super hurtful, this sort of behavior. I received it as him not believing my story, dismissing me, not considering my well-being, that he just didn't care, right? And what made it super hurtful is I received it as him not believing my story, right? That I was making things up. And I think what made it even worse is I know that he is a first responder. So why was he doing this to me? He is the one who's supposed to love me the most, right? And why is he running from this? And it made me angry to begin with. And the reason I'm sharing this is because this can most likely happen to you. There are people you're going to share it with, possibly, who might not be emotionally ready for it. Because now I do know something different. Initially, it really made me angry. But as I supported myself and processed it myself, I knew I was supporting myself. I knew that I could take care of myself. And I know that he runs from difficult things. For sure, this is something I plan on having a conversation about down the road to kind of help him see what's going on and what would be helpful. But right now, it's so close to me that talking about it would feel so hurtful, and I just don't think it would come out right. So I'm sharing this again because you need to know that this could happen to you. And what other people's reactions are never about you. They are about them and their own fears or their lack of knowledge. And I want you to be an informed person that someone else could come to and that you could empathize with, someone that that person could sit with and feel safe with and have somebody to just be there with them. I want to also share that you always want to believe someone when they share this information, even if it's untrue, even if they're making it up, because if they're talking about it, they're unhappy, they're feeling lonely, and it's better to believe them and be an ally for them than to dismiss them and regret it. And what I want all of you to hear is that this is no joke. It's so serious. Be someone who asks questions, who helps the other person seek guidance from their medical provider and find a professional to work through what might be happening. Sharing and talking to others about your experience is healing as well. I have shared this with good friends, and I'm sharing it with all of you. And in the process, I build up my self-confidence because an old story from childhood keeps telling me that I'm a liar and that I'm making up stories for attention. And that isn't true. I want the little girl under there who's afraid to share her truth to feel consoled and loved and that I will take care of her. Another personal story that I'll share is that I have attempted suicide before. When I was in my early 20s and so unhappy in my life and the relationship that I was in. This memory came up when a trusted friend asked if I had visualized how I might end my life. And I shared how, yeah, because yes, I had. We have guns in our nightstands, or we had, they are now gone. And that I had thought of pills, but remembered that I had once tried that route unsuccessfully. And then I also remembered how my parents reacted, or should I say, didn't react. They were called while I was in the hospital, in the emergency room, and they never came to visit me. This hurt, y'all, this hurt. But I now do know that this was not about my lack of value, which at the time I did think that I'm just worthless. My parents won't even come and show me love at this time in my life when I was planning on ending it. But again, this wasn't about my lack of value, but their inability to express concern or love or care for my life. And again, I only share this because when I look back, I was crying out for help to all of the wrong people. I was crying out for help to the people who were never there for me, people who didn't steer me towards getting help and support, that would see how my circumstances were creating this situation. You have to advocate for yourself and you have to find good help, or at least good friends who will walk alongside you and help you do so. With the proper support and treatment, there is so much hope, and that is what I want you to know. My people supported me, and my medical support got me headed in a more hopeful direction, and it happened quickly. I also learned how to support myself by not having an idle mind, which is something to talk. I want to talk more about in another episode because I realized that I have learned to be able to be present, to pause, to just be. And what I needed to do during this time was the exact opposite of that, because when I just paused and was present and being instead of doing, my mind was dark. It wasn't healthy. So I just learned how to keep moving and doing things. And I also learned that when things go awry, to seek the support of Jesus, friends, and distraction of the thoughts and your mind. Because in that situation, your mind is not telling you the truth. Looking back, I could never have predicted this path life took me on. And the lessons, oh my gosh, the lessons. I can't even share them all because they keep coming almost every day. And I am so bummed because I have been so out of it that I haven't even been able to journal about them. I've been well-meaning to do so, but it just hasn't happened. What I know is that I am changing and I am growing in this process that I could never have predicted, ways that I could never have predicted. And that's what I want to share with all of you. Yes, the path to growth and a feeling better about your life that you're living, knowing that you're shedding what the world created in you and becoming the one you were created by your maker to be, will not come without pain and rough days, but welcome it because it's alchemy that brings about beautiful change that you will never regret. And that's why last week's episode is so important, the building of a friendship community. You need your army of alliances to be there when these times come. Have you experienced dark, life-threatening thoughts? If you have, and you think that you have nowhere to turn, I want you to know that you do. You have me. You can book a Courageous Love conversation. You can tell me what is going on when you register for that. And when I see that note that says that you're struggling, I will contact you. As soon as I see that note, I will help steer you to dry ground. Know that I love you and your life matters more than you could ever know. Please do not waste it. I love you all so much. Ciao. Thank you for listening to the Awaken You podcast. If you enjoyed listening, then you have to go check out Awaken You, my one-on-one coaching program where we take all of this material and we apply it to your life. We study it and we take it to your next level so that you can awaken you in your marriage. For any questions, comments, or coaching issues you'd like to hear on the podcast, please visit me on my website, and together, let's awaken you.